Imagine the world before glass and mirrors were widely owned. People got a rough sense of what they looked like from reflections in water and on some pots and pans, but overall people couldn't be that obsessed with their own appearance when it wasn't that easy to analyze. Birds go through their life without thinking much about their looks. They groom themselves a lot, but that's for comfort and safety, not mere attractiveness. They know what their parents and siblings looked like, and if they ever wonder about their own appearance, they probably get their concept of it from what their family looks like. They do learn fast and hard how fit they look by how others relate to them. A bird with odd plumage may have a hard time attracting a mate or even be driven away by others. Think of the poor whooping cranes that hatched in sandhill crane nests back in that misguided experiment of the 70s. The cranes were fed and cared for by their unwitting foster parents, even as the differences between these and normal babies became ever more apparent. Because parent birds are notoriously undiscriminating when raising whatever babies are in their own nests, but the babies assumed that their place in the universe was with other sandhill cranes when there weren't any sandhill cranes that had developed a similar yearning for whoopers. Of all the baby whooping cranes, only one managed to attract a sandhill crane as a mate, and no one knows if their one hatchling would have been fertile. The little family was lost in a storm. Every other whooping crane in that project spent its life like Ishmael, wandering alone without direction or love. Without mirrors, none of these poor birds ever understood why it was shunned by crane society, even as each one shunned the others for looking different from its parents. Tragically, when birds do see reflective glass, they tend to see their reflection not as a likeness of themselves, but as a competitor on their territory. Robins and cardinals especially fall into this dangerous mindset. When I was teaching a week-long class at Tree Haven, a research station near Tomahawk, Wisconsin, one spring, a male robin discovered his image in my car mirror. As robins do when they spy a competitor, this male first raised his head feathers and flew into a tree, bursting into song. Had the interloper been a real robin, it would have either fled or started singing too. Then the birds would have interacted several times, hammering out territorial boundaries so their paths would no longer cross. The reflection didn't make a peep, but when the robin peeked in the mirror, there he was again. The robin fluffed up his plumage and raised his head feathers, and the reflection matched his level of aggression feather for feather. At this point, the robin again retreated to a song perch to sing, and again the competitor was silent. So it was with shock and distress that he discovered the image still there. That's when the feathers flew, literally, as he flew directly into the interloper, trying desperately to drive him off his territory. At every level of aggression, the reflection matched his precisely, but the interloper never flew up to sing, which both robins and cardinals know a territorial winner always does. Bewilderment about this strange bird made the real bird fixate on that image, and every single time he checked, there he was. The robin couldn't help himself. He had to drive him away. He fought his image in my car mirror for many hours. I was far more anxious about his distress than I was upset about my car mirror, so I quickly taped a piece of paper to it. For the next 2 days, he frequently flew up to the car and peeked in the mirror, but the upstart was gone for good. When I had to drive anywhere, I replaced the paper as soon as I returned. 4 days later, when I took the paper off for good, the robin was over his fixation and didn't return. When people have a robin or cardinal shadowboxing with its image on a window, taping paper over the whole glass surface may not be convenient, but it's the most sensible and kindest solution. I get letters all the time from people distressed about this situation who refuse to take this simple measure, but frankly, they seem just as irrationally fixated on their window as the bird is, neither unable to turn their gaze away and get on with their lives. In the final analysis, it's better to look through a glass darkly for a day or two than battle a bird through the looking glass. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.